and welcome to this episode of White Power's Tales from the CPR Laundry. I'm here with Rosie Mura. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you, Cherise. Lovely to be here.
Well, you don't look as stressed as me. Like, thank you for coming to our now emergency podcast set up. Little mix up for listeners. Yeah, double booked. Well, actually, the venue that we previously booked forgot that it was closed on a Monday. You know, because obviously that's really difficult to remember. But anyway, we're here. Just to give a little bit of a backstory to everybody. So I first spoke to Rosie at the very first Pearls of Wisdom event at the Limewood in the New Forest. You were one of our guests and you were willing to come on and talk to us. It was a little while ago now.
It was. I can't believe it. It was back in 2021.
Yeah, 2021, and it was a great day. But when we were, the whole purpose of that event was to talk about finance, because it had been I've realised that we were all making very similar mistakes when it came to finance and my background, and we wanted to get to the bottom of it. So you agreed to come on and be interviewed. I've literally just watched your interview as well.
I did. Oh my goodness, I'm intrigued to see what's on there.
Well, you did say some pretty interesting things. So we'll touch base on your finance interview a bit later on.
Great.
To see whether you've actually done any of
this. I look forward to that.
So fill people in. So obviously, what were you doing before yachting, and then how did you find Sea Guild?
Yeah. Okay. So prior to joining yachting, I worked in the hospitality industry, pretty much. Been somehow connected to hospitality since about the age of 13, sort of started with a waitressing and washing up job in my local pub. And then after school, I went to college and studied tourism and events management. And then sort of ended up working in hotels and sort of more specifically into venues and events management. I moved to London because I'd grown up in the countryside and really needed to get out and kind of.
I suppose events in the big city are slightly different in the country.
Exactly. So, I lived in London for about 10 years. I went on to work for a restaurant group, big restaurant group in London. They actually had one restaurant when I joined, and I was able to kind of be a part of the growth. I was the head of marketing and PR, and we opened a series of amazing restaurants in London and then further afield into Manchester, Edinburgh, and into the US as well. And they continued their growth and expansion, which is great to see. I was with them for about 9 years. Like I said, they're an amazing company to work for. They really focused on culture and on people. And, you know, really before that was a box just to be ticked by businesses. You know, they really, really embodied that and won quite a lot of awards for it. They're one of the Sunday Times best companies to work for.
And so, like they're amazing. You live in your best life. Like, what? And you still work happy?
No, I was really happy. Really, really happy. But I had been with them for 9 years, and I was sort of getting, I guess, a little bit of itchy feet in terms of wanting to have a bit more freedom and flexibility to travel. So I ended up taking a bit of time out. I've got family over in Greece, so I spent some time over there, and it
works philosophical. I spent some time in Greece. 13 hours from you, when I...
Yeah, it sounds a lot more, it sounds really nice when you put it like that. But it was really, really lovely. And that was really where I found out about the yachting industry.
Like food and turning up.
Yeah, exactly. And spending time at marinas. I was staying very close by to Marina Zaya in Athens, or just outside Athens. And that was really where I started to learn more. I hadn't been aware of the yachting industry previously. And had I would have joined, you know, 10 years prior, but everything happens for a reason, better late than never, they say. And so, yeah, I sort of did all of my research and came back to the UK, did my courses. That was sort of in the November, December time. And yeah, and then I headed out to Antibes the following January.
Antibes. I do quite like the fact that you're a port side as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
It's come up in conversation a number of times. But yeah, no, it makes me feel more comfortable to be around. Right side.
Love that.
So obviously when you were up in Antibes, how did you feel? You remember how? Because you wouldn't have been a maturer individual like myself.
Yeah, absolutely. So to be honest, I was just really excited, but I had done my research and I was aware that, you know, I was on the more mature side of people entering the industry. So I definitely kind of kept that in mind, I think, because, you know, I'd had a really responsible job prior, whereas I'd been leading a big team across multiple sites. And you know, I think it was really, really important coming in to kind of be really prepared and open to start at the bottom, with a, you know, an ambition to work my way up through the ranks, but to really know my place. Also to be really aware that most likely my chief stews were going to be younger than I was probably.
That's a big thing, isn't it?
Respectful of that as well. And I actually love that about the industry. It's not about your age. It's not about your background. It's about your experience and what you've achieved in the industry itself. And yeah, I really admire that.
Yeah, I suppose it is a place, you know, it does have, if you want to get on, I think it's one of those industries. If you're determined and you work hard, you can get on. But it also, like you said, it gives opportunity to maybe progress faster, as long as you show obviously attitude and you can handle it. Yeah, I was aware of that straight up. Although saying that, my first moment, I was younger than my chief stew, but it's a mature thing to take a hit like that, because that's a big ego. You were like flying high in London, you know, like you said, multiple sites, tons of responsibilities, going back down to the bottom. Did you ever worry that you were making a mistake, because you've given up quite a bit?
No, I didn't actually. And it was really nice, although obviously I knew it wasn't my plan forever. To, you know, I definitely wanted to work my way up. It actually was really nice to take away that responsibility that comes with being a leader for a short period of time. You know, you're obviously responsible to your team and you're responsible to the captain, but it was actually really nice just to focus on learning the job and learning the industry, to be honest. It was a sense of freedom in some ways.
You released the shackles of responsibility. I can just have fun again. So in London, obviously, when you're, you know, it's a high pressure environment there, so you as well, you're going to work really hard. There must, you obviously, you said there is a freedom of coming back down, not having that, because it's a fast pace in London as
it
well.
It was, yeah. It's
all consuming. So how did you get your third boat?
I was really fortunate in the right place at the right time, but it was through a lot of perseverance, actually. I went out to Antibes earlier in the year than a lot of people arrive. I was actually doing some courses as well. And it was, you know, just really fortuitous. I was applying for all the jobs. I registered with all the agencies, and that was where really I started to learn and understand the power and the positivity around like network and community within yachting. I mean, that's grown even more so, you know, especially with groups like Pearls, which are fantastic. Just really that opportunity to connect and foster relationships, and you know, those people have really helped that I've met has really helped to shape my career. So I'm really fortunate for that. But yeah, I applied for the role online, and yeah, I was lucky enough to be selected, and the timing was really fortuitous, because it was just before the pandemic sort of really hit, and just before lockdown began. So I made it to Italy to join my new boat just before.
So when I met you and you came to my event, you have been working for just over 2 years.
Yeah.
So in 2 years, and I remember you saying quite clearly your ambition was to get to like Persa level.
Yeah.
Do you remember why you wanted that, or did it just seem like a progression?
No, I think, you know, I think everyone has their different sort of career paths within the industry and sort of their ultimate goals. For me, I wanted, you know, this wasn't just something I wanted to come into for a short period of time. I really wanted to have longevity within the industry. You know, I'd sort of taken a big leap. So I wanted to know that there was kind of something really big and exciting to work towards. I wanted to continue. I really enjoyed even just the, you know, the basic safety training and the courses that I'd done. It was a whole new world for me, and I'm really excited by learning. I wish I'd been that excited about learning when I was at school, but often it can come later on. And yes. So, you know, for me, it was that I really wanted to have a goal to work towards in the future.
So, Persa.
Yeah.
Have you got your first Persa?
I haven't got my first sole Persa role yet. So my last role, I was on an amazing new build. So I actually joined about 6 months before launch. So Fed Ship new build, and, you know, absolutely. But as my role progressed on board, I started to assist the captain and the chief officer more with the vessel administration, so taking on Persa duties within that role. I also had an amazing second stew who is now the chief stew on that boat, which is amazing. And, you know, she took on really the sort of day-to-day leadership of the team, managing the tasks, which allowed more time for me to be able to assist with the administration and organisation and the Persa side of the role, which was great.
So in your head, what did you think the Persa role was, and what has it turned out to be?
So I think it's pretty much the same as what I thought it would be. There's no kind of big surprises in there, really. What I've started to understand more is it can really vary from vessel to vessel, depending on the size of the vessel, depending on how it's set up, the responsibilities and the duties that you have. I think for me, the most important thing is to understand how crucial that role is to the, you know, the successful operation of the ship, and also the, you know, also basically the ramifications and the seriousness if your job's not done properly. You know, it could be things like, part of the role is obviously payroll. It's essential that, you know, the crew get paid correctly and on time, which means, you know, you have a big responsibility there. It's port clearances, which, yeah, understandably, it's a big responsibility. So
quite complicated, yeah.
Yeah, and it can, like I say, it can really vary from vessel to vessel. So on some boats, it's very much more guest facing. You're doing a lot of the concierge services, the cruising guides, destination management, reservations, that kind of thing. And on some other vessels, it can be purely financial and sort of, you know, very much around the accounts, the budgets, the payroll, the procurement. So it's quite a complex and, you know, but very, very interesting role.
So what are the, obviously you're just a trip, you're personal.
Correct, yeah.
So you're dealing with the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you navigate that? Is it like, obviously, you're the only female out there? Oh, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there are some female officers. I'm not saying that, but obviously, you're dealing with the bridge all of the time. So obviously, that's a male-dominated,
yeah,
male-dominated area.
Mm-hmm.
How do you navigate that?
To be honest, Cherise, and I wish this was the case for everyone, I've been really, really fortunate in my career. I haven't, you know, faced some of the issues and complexities that other women have. I think I probably built that resilience from my previous land life. Actually, the hospitality industry was very male dominated when I was in there. But I've actually been really fortunate to work with amazing male and female leaders throughout my career. I think what I have been able to do is sort of draw on some of the more, you know, stereotypically feminine traits, such as things like empathy and resilience and things like that, in order to help me along the way. But actually, I haven't experienced any issues.
Do you think that's because of confidence? Because you've had, do you know what I mean? Like, you're coming in from like land-based roles, as long as a responsibility. Not being funny or anything, you could probably do the job with your eyes closed once you understood it. Do you know what I mean? It's not a lot of pressure. Do you know what I mean? So you've got a lot of skills to rely on straight out the gate, whereas if social learners actually join the industry at 18, you're learning that on the job.
Yeah. I think, thank you. That's a problem. I really appreciate that. But actually, for me personally, that hasn't always been the case. I've certainly faced crises of confidence along the way. There's certainly been a lot of challenging times, but I've been able to lean on things like, obviously, amazing family and friends at home, but also, you know, connections within industry, amazing groups and supports, such as, you know, people like the crew coach, mentors, Pearls, connection, community. Those things have definitely helped me, but I also look to other industries to try and help me to sort of solve problems, as well as I look at leaders within other industries to kind of draw on their experiences too.
That's really good. I was just going to ask you about communication between crew and guests.
Yeah.
Obviously, the odd point is because of the communities that are out there, it is possible to reach out like that.
100%. And, you know, one thing I've just done recently is just been on the Lost and Found crew ski trip. And I got to meet 15 people I'd never met previously and had the most incredible holiday. But it is that feeling of connection. And because I've been off board, I left my last role at the end of November. And, you know, I've really missed that collaboration and that community. And in a way, you can feel a little bit isolated when you come back to spending a longer time on land, which I know is the catalyst for you starting Pearls in the first place. And, you know, even things like when I met you and some of the ladies and gents actually for lunch a couple of months ago, just really invigorated me being able to spend that time and chat with you and connect. So
it's a weird feeling, isn't it?
It is, definitely.
Like, had a taste of, again, a taste of like coming out.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to go back in.
But yeah.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's real. It's isolating. But also you've experienced firsthand what it feels like when you're back with your, how do you say, tribe or crew, whatever. But when you're back with individuals from the industry, there's something about it.
It's so special. And honestly, I mean, I'd never met any of these people that I went skiing with. And it really just made me feel that wonderful connection and togetherness, but also the diversity within the industry. I know we've all got a long way to go. Every business does, every industry does in terms of diversity, but just to meet people from so many different places, different backgrounds, different roles on board, that was really exciting.
So can you give me maybe a high and a low from your yachting so far?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say low points, not really one kind of specific moment, but at times, and luckily not very often, but feeling of isolation at times, whether that be sort of professionally, personally, the being away from, you know, your very close people at times. And then I would say on the flip side of that, the exact opposite in terms of the togetherness that I felt within yachting. You know, for example, the opportunities that's opened and amazing experiences. I went out to Zimbabwe 2 years ago for my chief stew's wedding, which was just incredible, which, you know, I never would have done that previously. And you know, so many other stories of connections and trips and moments that, you know, I'm incredibly grateful for.
It does open, I think it opens the world up.
You know, you do get to connect with some people that, you know, on land at least.
Yeah.
There was just no way you would have probably crossed paths.
Yeah.
So that's, but it is quite funny how the world just gets so much bigger.
Yeah.
You know, through people, really. It's not just because you cruise around, but it just gets so vast, but then feels smaller at the same time.
Exactly. And there's nothing I love more than, you know, pulling into a port and knowing that, you know, one of your really good friends is going to be there, or someone that you've worked with previously, and you're going to have that moment to connect again. It's lovely.
Obviously you're looking for a pure purser role.
Yeah.
What do you think the essential skills are to be a purser?
I think, well, first and foremost, organisation is key. There's going to be a huge amount of moving parts in terms of your role, and a huge amount of demands and ever changing priorities. So being able to prioritise is really important. You've got to have a good knowledge of all of the systems, processes, and softwares that are used on board in order to enable like the very best efficiency within your role. You've got to have a really keen eye for detail, you know, spotting mistakes in figures and things, or potential mistakes, things like that, making sure that everything is correct so that you leave no room for error. You know, things like, you know, you're organizing crew member travel, for example, you're organizing and arranging visas and things like that. There's just no room for error on those things, you know, especially if it's a new crew member joining a vessel. That would be their very first impression of the boat if something's not right there. So, you know, really, the crew work really hard, so it's really important to make sure that support and processes for them is in place. I really care about that stuff, you know.
Did you, on your boat, because I know that there's a lot of changes, like different software coming on.
Yeah.
Accountancy is not the same as, you know, when I, many, many years ago, I used to just get a bag of cash and then say, go provision. Like, pay how I wasn't robbed in broad daylight.
I know.
Like, big wads of cash, and then you come up with a big wad of receipts. But I know that there's different software and things out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had any experience with those?
Yeah, I have. I've worked. One that I particularly like is Volley. It's really, really takes away, negates the need for all of those various different spreadsheets and kind of the scanning of receipts and sticking them to a piece of paper, as I've had to do sometimes. You know, just really digitalizes and streamlines the process and creates efficiency, which is, we always need more time in the day, right? So anything that can help with that is a massive win.
But well, not losing receipts, you know.
Yeah.
These softwares are quite amazing where you just like take a photo of the receipt, put it in the pack, and then there's less chance.
Exactly.
Because there's always all of that one receipt.
Yeah. No, it's the worst.
It's the worst. Well, I mean, obviously it's changing. Do you think there's an advantage to being an onboard purser than obviously there's virtual purses?
Correct. Yeah.
You know, what's your opinion on that?
I think there's advantages to both, to be honest. I think it can be a fantastic opportunity to move shoreside for some people. And, you know, I think really, I, I don't know so much about the virtual purser's side of things. However, I can see it being a huge benefit to vessels that don't have the accommodation on board for a purser. So pursers really tend to be on board sort of 85, 90 meter plus boats where they have the crew size to be able to accommodate someone in that role on board. So, and then usually on smaller vessels, the purser duties would be sort of split between the chief stew, the chief officer, and the captain. So I can certainly see the benefits for going shoreside. I think also it works really well for, you know, if you don't warrant having a full-time purser in that role, perhaps being able to outsource some of those responsibilities or kind of specific projects, maybe setting up a new build, for example. I can see it being hugely beneficial. And then, you know, on board, I think the purser can obviously, being there in person can really help with those concierge duties, assisting, you know, the owner's experience on board, contributing to that effectively.
Well, because also when you're running a tight crew, the chief stew's like trying to deal with what's going on board, and then the boss is also wanting reservations, yeah, not being vulnerable, trying to get through to those places.
Yes, yeah.
It could take probably all day,
yeah,
to negotiate that, let alone the cast to get to it, Lord Dutton.
Yeah. Exactly, it can. And having been in that position, you know, which was obviously an amazing experience the last 2 years, that's sort of a big reason for me why I'm now looking to pursue a solely purser role, so that I can really delve deep into that and kind of focus on those responsibilities, definitely.
So you're really good at taking responsibilities, working out details and everything else. How is finances working out?
So, we're going to go back to the beginning.
I knew this was coming.
When I met. So obviously, Pearls of Wisdom is passing on advice. When I first met Rosie, she was, you know, working up to purser role. And we were talking about what you might need to consider for your future, like moving forward. And obviously, on the day, we gave a bunch of advice for you about
said advice that was
so I'd just like to say first and foremost that the advice I received was really valuable and really beneficial. I think for me, I've been exceptionally busy in that role. Nothing could have prepared me for the complexities and challenges involved in a new build vessel, so really that has been all consuming for me, both personally and professionally, for the last 2 years. However, what I have been doing is working really hard to save over that time, and just really thinking about where I want to make that investment. I think I've perhaps had a little bit of nervousness around sort of putting finances into something.
I think it made me laugh. You, and you're like, well, I've been doing it for 2 years, but I'm just going to wait to see.
Yeah.
So you're still trying to predict the future.
I know. I'm really cautious. It's so funny because I'm really not overly cautious in a lot of areas of life, but some I am. And, you know, I think for me, I've also been thinking about where I want to be and to settle and locate myself outside of work. We get paid in various different currencies on board. So I've been thinking about which of my three savings accounts I want to sort of leave my savings. It's sort of been a lot of transition and a lot of movement, but I'm very much hoping that I'll be in a rotational position in my next role. And so, you know, that will allow me some more time to really think about where I'm putting down roots next and, you know, make some really hopefully sensible decisions for my
future. So rotation is the goal.
Yeah, rotation is the goal, although, you know, I'm not going to discount opportunities because they don't offer rotation right now. But one thing I've really have learned over, especially over the last sort of 6 months or so, is that need for downtime in order to be able to perform at your best when you're on board. So if not rotation, then certainly must be structured leave for me. I want to be able to embrace a life outside of work.
Well, because, you know, how, you know, obviously, what's your exit? What are you thinking?
Do you know what, Cherise, to be quite honest, and, you know, they might not agree with me here, but I don't have one because I don't really want to leave the industry. Like, I'm really, currently, as it is right now, I'm really, really happy in the industry. And if I can get a rotational position, then, you know, I would be really, really set up. However, I do know that it is important to be thinking about the future. And so I think I've been working on a few little projects actually while I've been having some downtime over the last few months. And, you know, I think for me, it were like so many other of the fantastic entrepreneurs that have come out of yachting, I think that would be my path forward down the line if I was to leave the industry. But I think I would want to try and stay connected as best I can.
Well, it is a fun industry.
Yeah.
You know, you want to stay.
Yeah.
But you are, you know, like all of us on the exit, you're going to have to juggle a relationship, where you want to live,
mm-hmm.
your children, and then entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
It's a lot.
Do you feel, is that why you don't want to think about it
so much? Because, oh my goodness.
So I'm trying to get to, like, and I don't mean this like that you're an isolated incident.
No.
Because I've spoken to hundreds
of course
of women now. And because there are so many moving parts to leaving, it's not like a bury your head in the sand, but it's like it's such a big thing. And obviously you're already also trying to push your career. Is it kind of brain overload? Like, what do you think it?
I think it can be. I think that, to be honest, for the last 4.5 years, I've been so focused on getting into the industry that I'm not quite ready to think about getting out of it, if that makes sense. However, I'm starting to see more and more conversations about sort of life after yachting. And really, since the beginning of this year, I've started to think about that. There's some, again, amazing networks out there, such as Pearl, such as Sisterhood by Michelle. Like, there's some fantastic, fantastic people out there that can help you to kind of figure out that path and, you know, figure out the way forward. So a bit like my future investments, it's something that is, you know, definitely on my mind, but I haven't quite figured out what that looks like yet.
It's a big decision.
It is
a big decision. And like I said, there's lots of, you know, when dealing with past, there is lots of positives, you know. I think you're going to be, by the time you want to leave, the amount of stories and information,
mm-hmm.
especially from like what we're doing, will give you confidence.
Yeah.
You know? The only things I can't help with is relationships and children. You know, that's the old, I mean, we're going to cover that in a different episode, the gamble of leaving children later, which, you know, it's unfortunate that all women, especially yachties, has to pay. We want it all. Not a travel. I think, you know, like you said, I can really relate to the fact that when you find it later. So I did get in until like 29.
Yeah.
And by the time I met my then to be husband, I was 30. So I was like, I could just stay. I could stay a bit longer.
Totally get that.
But yeah, you have to have your eyes open.
Yeah, you do.
So 5 years from now, where are we meeting? What's going on with you?
Oh my goodness, I hope we're in Palma again, like we were a couple of days ago. Yeah, that was fab, going out for the boat show. Again, sort of staying connected, really great thing.
Do you think on or off board?
Oh, I really don't know in 5 years. If I look at where my journey's taken me the last five, I wouldn't have believed it. I would like to be, I've decided and I hope this is the case because this is now on the, it's now recorded, and I'd really like to be living in the sunshine somewhere, and I really think that could be Palma. So I'd like to have a base there and kind of be settled.
Why would you not want to be here? Like, with this glorious brain we'd have, like, literally since you left your boat, it's been the wettest winter. I don't know why you'd want to go live in Palma.
Exactly, and this is the first UK winter that I've done, having done two winters in the Netherlands as well. Like, this was quite intense. So yeah, I'm ready to get back in the sunshine. So I think for me, you know, hopefully I'm still working on board as a purser, or perhaps working on one of my other projects that I'm considering at the moment, but just kind of, you know, just happy and settled and, you know, hopefully enjoying life.
But I think we will have to check in again, you know, see how it's all going.
Yeah.
So to finish off, to a lady that might be in the laundry right now, ironing that flat sheet, make sure you do it properly. What would your word of advice be?
Keep going. I would say that, you know, probably the most valuable skill I've learned in the industry is to be resilient and to bounce back. You will encounter challenges. You will, you know, there will be tough times alongside those really great times, just like anything in life. But embrace your power of network and conversation and community, and, you know, you'll get to where you want to be.
You can do it.
Yeah, you can
do it. You can do it. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. It's actually really nice because obviously we've known each other quite some time, but when you get to have these proper discussions, it's like filling in the blanks. I'm like, oh, well, that makes complete sense. And we would love to have you on again, maybe at the beginning of your entrepreneurial journey. That would be working good.
I would love that. It's been a real privilege. Thank you, Charisse.
So thank you for joining us on this episode of Why Powers Tales from the Superyacht Laundry. If you enjoyed the conversation we had today and you want to carry the conversation on a little bit longer, we have our Thursday Night Lives, which is on our community app, and all of the guidance and advice for anything that you might, challenges you might be facing on board at the moment, is in there. Alternatively, keep an eye out for our social media posts. If you have any problems or you have any challenges, please join us. Failing that, we'll see you next episode. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Charisse.